If 10% buy, 90% don't like you. 90% say, ah, that guy's a super salesman. He's just a, you know, he just loves himself too much. He's hard selling. I don't like that. 90% have to justify why they didn't do it. If you make someone an offer, they can turn you down. But if you want to get married, you got to propose. Maybe they'll say no. You have to be prepared to get a no.
Welcome to the Thought Leader Revolution with Nikki Ballew. Join the revolution. There's never been a better time in history to speak your truth, find your freedom, and make your fortune. Each week, we interview the world's top thought leaders and learn the secrets of how they built a 6 to 7 figure practice. This episode has been brought to you by eCircleAcademy.com, the proven system to add 6 to 7 figures a year to your thought leader practice.
Hi, this is Nikki Ballew, and I'm here with my dear friend and mentor, Raymond Aron, and we're talking about busting up some myths about selling. Raymond likes to say that you only have a business if you have clients who've paid you. And the only way you can have clients who've paid you is if you're actually good at selling. And we're going to bust some myths that people have about selling to help you become better at selling. So Raymond, selling, man, it's such an integral and important part of success in business and frankly, success in life. And yet so many people are scared of it. So many people don't want to be that guy or that gal who's pushy and does the hard sell. But is that really an issue?
Very strange. I don't hard sell. You don't hard sell. I actually don't know anybody who hard sells. I've never experienced it in my life. And yet everyone thinks that selling means hard selling. And I think that means like in a used car lot, the salesman will say, buy this, it's amazing. And I'll give you a free this and a free that. Decide today, you have to decide today. That's hard selling. But I've never heard anyone say that. So why is it? Why is it that people are so afraid of selling? Why is it they're so afraid that others will call them a, quote, salesman? I don't know. I think part of it is that we have an inherent horror of being turned down. And of course, you can never be turned down if you don't do anything in life. But if you do something like make a pitch for a movie, make an offer to have someone buy your service, your coaching, your product. If you make someone an offer, they can turn you down. But for gosh sakes, if you want to get married, you got to propose. If you don't propose, you can't get married. And proposing is a sell job. You're on your knee, you've opened your jewelry box, and you say, please marry me. And you know that she could say no. And when I say to somebody, I've decided to allow you into my coaching program, do you agree? Maybe they'll say no. But you have to be prepared to get a no. For gosh sakes, there's no other way to parent than to get no's. You've got two boys. They were probably pretty boisterous at a younger age. And you probably said to them, don't you come to the dinner table unless you've washed your hands. You probably said it 100 times to each of them. And they still said no sometimes.
Yeah. It's so true. You know, this whole thing of hard sell, I agree with you. I don't hard sell. You don't hard sell. And I can't even remember the last time someone tried to hard sell me. It's something that we don't run into, yet it's a myth that's pervasive in our culture. When you mention the word sales, most people have an instinctive recoiling reaction to it. Like, oh, no. I don't want to be in sales. I don't want to be that pushy person. And I'm not like that. And I'm not here to sell you. I'm not here to you. Have you ever heard people come and say to you, Raymond, I'm not here to sell you. I'm not here to sell you. I'm like, but why? If I tell you I have a problem, you should be here to sell me. You know what I mean? You should be here to sell me. If I come to you and I say, Raymond, I have a problem. And the problem is that the last few times I've been on stage, I stunk the place out. No one was interested in coming and enrolling in any of my programs. Raymond, how do I fix this problem? It's an invitation for you to sell me on a solution. If you came to me and you said, Nikki, I'll tell you a few things, but I'm not here to sell you, I'd think it was strange.
Yes. And it's very strange if someone says they have a problem and you actually have the solution to their problem. It's very strange if you don't tell them your solution.
It's almost malpractice if you think about it. Because
that's right.
Because look, if you don't give the solution to the person who needs it, they're going to continue to suffer. It's yes. Like if you go into a doctor's office, right, and you've got an injured arm, you got a broken arm, you got a cut arm or whatever, and the doctor all of a sudden gets super shy about treating you. Well, you know, I don't want you to think I'm pushing my treatment on you. No, damn it, my arm hurts. Fix it right away.
Yes, you'd think that people would be more eager to work with salespeople or to be a salesperson, because truly nothing happens in the economy. I mean, nothing at all happens until something is sold. Nothing can happen. Yeah. Nothing gets bought off the grocer's shelf. Nothing gets manufactured. Nothing happens unless something is sold. And yet the salesman isn't exalted. The CEO is exalted, like Steve Jobs, Bill Gates. They're known, Elon Musk. And major politicians are well known. Major movie stars are really, really well known. But I can't name any salesman, unless it's a CEO that is selling indirectly.
Yes.
Elon Musk is a big ham. He says outrageous things.
I love it.
He gets plastered over all the media. Well, he's indirectly selling. But why don't we know salesmen? Why can't you and I rhyme off 5 or 10 world-famous salesmen? Strange.
It is strange. And here's what I'm going to say to people listening to this. The word sales may be the thing that's throwing you off, because it has some negative connotations with it. If sales is getting in the way of you wrapping your head around doing something good for people, reframe it from selling to serving.
Ah.
Be a serveman or servewoman.
A servant, it's a new word.
It's a new word, yeah. And if you think about it, anyone who is like you or like me or like all the wonderful people we know who are in business who sell, they first and foremost care about the people that they're selling to, that they're serving. They want to see their lives improve. They want to see their suffering disappear. I mean, imagine, Raymond, if you had a client who came to you and said, I'm about to lose everything. My wife is about to leave me. My business is about to go in the toilet. I need your help. And you sat with this person and you created a plan for them through your coaching, and you put them in one of your programs that helped them get a whole bunch of sales, so their business got saved, and then the financial pressure went away, so the person's marriage improves, because money is one of the biggest reasons, if not the biggest reason, marriages fail from financial pressure. You saved this person's life, literally saved this person's life. This man would tell you, thank you, Raymond, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You served him, and yet you also sold him. You know,
yes. So
it's an act of love. To me, selling done honorably and correctly is an act of service, and it's an act of love and caring.
Now, I'm going to generalize, and please remember that all generalizations aren't true. But I think the two categories of people who are afraid to be thought of as a salesperson are professionals, doctors, lawyers, accountants, or employees. And please, I want you to understand something. I am absolutely not putting down employees. Tesla would close its doors if all 50,000 employees walked out.
Yep.
Walmart would close its doors. Costco would close its doors. Every single company would end business that day if all the employees left. I have 9 amazing staff members who've been with me for 10 to 30 years. But they're used to doing really good work for me and getting a paycheck every other Friday. They're used to it and they deserve it. They do great work for me and I support them and their family. But they don't have to sell. And professionals don't like selling. They think of themselves as above it. They don't mind if a person comes in and says to the lawyer, can I just explain what my situation is? And then if you could take my case, fine. And the lawyer thinks that they're just chatting for a while and then the person does actually become a client. But the lawyer doesn't think he's selling. Accountants don't like to sell. And so I think those are two giant categories. Employees, which is half of North America, and professionals, which might be, I don't know, 10%. And so maybe 60%, I'm just guessing, of all people in North America don't sell or think it's not evil, but incorrect or pushy. They just say pushy. They don't even know what the heck it means. Do you know what? They don't even know what pushy means. They just say it because everyone will agree. Oh yeah, no one wants to be pushy.
No one. You know, it's very true. And the truth is that when people have this mentality about selling, this is what gets in the way of success. You have a wonderful phrase, which I've heard you use, and I love it. I use it sometimes. It's called the sales prevention department in a business.
Yes. Right?
I love it. The sales, these people sometimes, not all of them, again, generalization, they're in the sales prevention department because they're not willing to reframe that word and turn it into what it truly is, which is an act of service. One of the things that I do with a lot of my clients and a lot of the people who listen to my podcast and on the podcast that I'm a guest on is I talk about selling from the heart and talk about reframing the word sales into service, reframing the concept of selling to somebody into serving somebody.
Yes.
Because that
sure
takes the attention off you. I think part of the reason people get weirded out about sales is because they make it about them. What are they going to think of me if they think I'm trying to sell them? Are they going to like me or are they going to dislike me? Are they going to think I'm one of those pushy people? Are they going to write bad things about me on social media? Are they going to ghost me and never call me or text me again? But when they think about serving, the attention's not on them. The attention's all on the other person. The thoughts that go through their head is, wow, this person really is going through a tough time. And I can help them. God has blessed me with the ability to be of service to this person. I'm going to help them. I'm going to make their life better. They're not going to suffer anymore. I'm going to get brownie points that are going to help me get into heaven. And I think that's the difference.
You know, many years ago, I've been on stage 41 years,
wow.
May of 1983.
Wow.
Many years ago, I got a complaint. There was no social media back then. But I got a complaint by mail or something. And I called a colleague of mine and I said, I guess I sold too much at the previous workshop because I got this letter accusing me of selling too much. And it hurts me. I don't like it. And my friend said to me, you have to sell so much that you start getting complaints. Otherwise, you're not selling enough. Maybe instead of selling 3 products, I sold 4 products, and that put the guy over the edge, and he wrote me a letter, you're a bad person. And it turned it around, as you say, reframed it. You're not selling enough if you don't get any complaints. You have to go right to that limit, otherwise you're leaving money on the table. And that's hard for people because even one complaint is devastating. Imagine a woman a really pretty woman, and she likes being well-dressed and elegant. She walks by a woman's wear store and she sees this blouse. Oh my gosh, she loves it. She goes in, she buys it. She says, put my old blouse in the bag. I'm going to wear this out. She wears it out and a friend of hers bumps into her on the street and says, oh, pink, is that still in style this year? All of a sudden, she hates her blouse. She wonders whether she's made the wrong decision. People get injured. They get hurt emotionally by words.
They do.
And so the idea of getting turned down or having a bad reference or a bad note on social media, it hurts people. And so they want to stay away from any chance of having somebody say something bad. But you and I know, if we're in front of 500 people and we make an offer of a product that's, let's say, $1,000, that out of 1,000 people, if we hit 10%, that's 100 people, that's a good deal.
A great deal.
100 people times $1,000, we made $100,000 in an hour. There are people in North America who work for a year and don't earn $100,000. And who the heck are we to do it in an hour? But if we have a well-honed speech that really touches all their pressure points, are you afraid of this? Do you sometimes worry about this? Is this getting in your way? And people are nodding, say, yeah, yeah, those are my worries. Well, I have this program that does this, and that's what I want. Oh my gosh. If I do a really good job, and if you do a really good job, they want to buy from us. They run to the back, or if it's Zoom, they click on the link in the chat and they buy it, not because we hard sell them, but because we hit their pressure points. They realize, oh my gosh, this is the solution that we want. But when you do it, listen carefully, if 10% buy, 90% don't like you. 90%. 90% say, ah, that guy's a super salesman. He's just a, you know, he just loves himself too much. He's hard selling. I don't like that. 90% have to justify why they didn't do it, even though 10% did. And so you and I have a strong enough shield of skin around ourselves that we can handle the 90% saying no because the 10% said yes. But I'll tell you, I don't know if most people can have 90% not like them. Politicians don't dare do that. Politicians need 51%. And so a good salesman attracts a certain audience. This is my audience. This is my target audience. This is who I want. And anyone else I don't want because they don't have this problem. And so we go for that and the others say no, but it's hard for most people to hear a no.
You know, it's interesting that you say that. Earlier today, I did a training in my 90K in 90 Days program, which you know about. You've helped me promote that program to some members of your audience before. And in fact, it was a couple of people that came to me from you that we were having a chat about on the training today. And I asked them, who, you know, what is it about sales that has you recoil? And I said, there's just three reasons. So we talked about the three reasons. And one of them was, you don't want to be one of those people. And almost everybody raised their hand. Yeah, I don't want to be one of those people. Right. Okay. The other one is, you don't think you're good at it. Yeah, I don't think I'm good at it. I'm not good at it. You know, and the third one is, you are good at it, but you think there's something wrong in the economy, in the world, and no one's going to buy. So those are the big three reasons we came up with today. And I said, let's tackle the first one, because that seems to be the one almost everybody has. I don't want to be one of those people. And then I stared into the camera in Zoom to look them in the eye. And I said, and I named one of them by name. She's a lovely lady that you and I both know, you know, just to protect her privacy. I'm not going to mention her name right now. But I said, so-and-so, I'll call her Julie, just for the sake of this. I said, Julie, I'm going to ask you this question, and I want you to look me in the eye, and I want you to answer me with all your heart and all your honesty. Can you do this? She said, absolutely. I said, are you one of those people? Are you someone who sells people something they don't need and you push them to buy, whether or not it makes a difference? Have you ever been one of those people? Tell me the truth. And she said, no, I'm not one of those people. I've never been one of those people. And so Raymond, I went around the room. There were like 14 people in the room, in the Zoom room. And I asked every one of them, are you one of those people? Have you ever been one of those people? Have you ever pushed someone to buy something that they shouldn't have bought? And they all just like, you know, cross my heart and hope to die. No, 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 I've never been that. So I said, you're sure? You're 100% sure? I'm sure, never been that. I said, then I'm giving you permission to, whenever that conversation comes up, to immediately tell yourself and tell that person, but I'm not one of those people. And believe it congruently. Raymond, Julie, who's a very sweet, you know, shy, self-effacing person, she lit up. She just lit up. She said, oh my God, I'm not one of those people. Like she was like that. And so, Raymond, it gets better. You're going to love this. You're going to love this. So then we went through and we said, can you all promise me you're not one of those people and you will never be one of those people? Yes, yes, I promise you I'm not one of those people. I'll never be one of those people. And Raymond, here's what I did next. I said, I want you to sit down and remember a time where you really helped someone and they called you and thanked you and they told you emotionally what it meant to them. And I want you to write it out. So everyone wrote it out. Then I put them in rooms and I had them share it with each other. They wouldn't leave the rooms. Like, they were just getting into it so much. And then they came out. They're all like, you know, they're all like excited. They went down. And I said, okay, here's what you're going to do. And they said, what am I going to do? He said, you're all going to put yourselves on mute. You're going to pull out your phone. You're going to call somebody. You're going to make a sales appointment. And they're like, oh my God. Are you kidding? I go, don't you love me? Don't you love Nicky Ballou? He's funny. He's going to get you on. So Raymond, the shyest person in the room, Julie, picked up the phone, as did everybody else. And for 10 minutes, they made calls. About half of them got a hold of people, half of them didn't. But Julie got a hold of somebody. And Raymond, she's so shy. She's always asking for permission. You know, she was not. She said, Nicky, I can't believe it. I called this organization and I told them, I really want to help you guys with this. And are you guys dealing with this? And they said, yes. I said, can I come and meet you and talk about how to help you? And they said, yes. And I have a meeting on Sunday. And I was like, oh my God, that's so amazing. So when you give people permission to authentically hold their ground of who they are and not take on something they're not, wow, what a wonderful thing that.
What a great story. I love that story. Wow. Now, you mentioned the sales prevention department, which is very funny, but I think that our listeners don't know what that is.
Yeah, you're right. You should tell them what it is.
I'll give them one example. The sales prevention department is a funny way of saying that the owner can't see how he's losing customers. He just can't see it. He's blind to it. He made a decision which was legitimate in his mind because it solved this problem, but he didn't realize it caused another problem. So here I am in a really quaint, picturesque, touristy town in the United States. And I'm walking down the street. It's mid-afternoon. The sun is hot. And all the stores are filled with people. They're all buying. We're all tourists. We feel good. We're going to buy. And I look across the street and I see a store that's sidewalk to eaves and store to store, a giant glass front. And there's a huge neon sign that says Gems. And I take my wallet out and I say to myself, I'm buying something. I'm either buying a 6 foot tall geode that weighs a half a ton, or I'm going to buy a little necklace or something. I don't know, but I'm buying something. I feel good. There's very little traffic. So I'm walking across the street and halfway across the street, I stop dead in my tracks in the middle of the street because there's a sign that says closed. It's the middle of the day. How can it be closed? And I looked in and truly there was nobody inside. I couldn't figure it out. So I walked closer and closer. I got up on the sidewalk and I realized something. There was a glass door. And when the shopkeeper left the night before, he turned the sign, you know, the sign that says open and closed. Well, he turned it so that it said closed, obviously. And then he went home. Then he came in the morning, unlocked the door, opened it by a few inches, put his hand inside and turned it so that it said open. Now, here's what you have to think about. Then he opened the door 180 degrees and kicked a rock there. So the closed sign was showing. You get it?
I get it.
I walk into the store And I said, "Sir, all the other stores across the street, they're all full, but yours is absolutely empty." He said, "Oh yeah, we're slow Tuesday afternoons." I said, "That's not it, sir, because none of the other stores are slow today, Tuesday afternoon." I said, "I'm a coach, but I'm not going to charge you anything. I just want to tell you why you're losing all this business." So he reluctantly comes out to the sidewalk and he stands on the curb. I stand in the middle of the sidewalk. So on the right of me is him, and on the left of me is the closed sign. And I look at him and I smash the closed sign. I said, "Look, it says closed. It says closed." And I look at him and there's no reaction. I said, "Sir, it says closed." And he said to me, "I wish this weren't true." He looked at me and he said, "You don't understand, sir. That's on the inside."
Oh my God.
Not even believable.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy.
It's so just,
that's his sales prevention department. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was working with someone once, and there was somebody who I enrolled in buying something from us, and I handed them to my colleague to say, "Listen, my colleague is going to process your payment and get you set up." And then my colleague said, "Okay, thanks. Great to see you. We can do it now, or we can wait a couple of days when you get all you do." And I stepped in right away and I said, "We're doing it now." I looked at her. I said, "We're doing it right this second." And my colleague looked at me and said, "Okay." All right. Like they were a little like flabbergasted that I would do that. But the buyer looked at me and go, yeah, I want to do it now. You know what I mean? And it was my certainty that prevented the sales prevention department from losing us that sale. Oh my God.
Yes. Because 2 days later, he might have lost interest.
Would have. Not might have. Would have lost interest. Yeah. Like 100%. So.
Yeah. The excitement's gone. The urgency is gone.
Yeah.
Very strange. People are afraid to ask for money. Very, very strange.
They are. But I'll tell you, what we're sharing, I think, is going to be valuable for the entrepreneurs who are seeking to get more effective at enrollment and sales. And I believe that they're going to love our stories. I believe they're going to love our concepts. The sales prevention department is absolutely brilliant. And I think we did a good thing for people, Raymond. So thanks for teaming up with me today to put this out there.
No, thank you. Because I have certain ideas, but you brought a completely different twist to it. One of the reasons I respect you so much is, I don't want to call it out of the box thinking because it's such a cliche, but you come at issues in such a unique, interesting way that I'm always amazed and impressed. I always caress my chin saying, "Wow." And so I never get tired talking to you because you've always got some new wise ideas.
You and I work well together, and I think doing these things and having a chance to do some events together, it's a wonderful thing, and I'm looking forward to doing more with you.
I look forward to
this episode has been brought to you by ecircleacademy.com, the proven system to add 6 to 7 figures a year to your thought leader practice.